Good morning. Today is Monday, May the 1st. I guess that means it's May Day, huh?
It is.
Joining us this morning is Assistant Police Chief, Mr. Brian Stevens. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I am okay, I think. I'm striving for perfection, but I am regularly reminded I'm not there. How about you?
I am doing well this morning.
Oh, I see. You're not even trying to strive for perfection, huh?
Survival.
Yeah, fair enough. And you could have said just me too, and it would have been all right. You ready for our why do we say it?
Sure.
Flack. Why do we say How's that for a word you don't hear often, huh?
Well, you know,
you might get the definition
flack,
of it.
You give people flack, yes. So I'm trying to think of what that would originate from.
Yeah.
Potentially an old military term from when you throw like a hand grenade or a bomb somewhere and all the flack is the material that flies back or flies in the air.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's a logical thought. Let's find out. Anytime you rise a little above the crowd by virtue of achievement or election, you'd better be prepared to take some flack. Criticism and blame go with the territory. Aviators learned that the original meaning of flak during World War I, German engineering and technology were combined to produce a new kind of gun, specifically designed to bring down aircraft. The German name for it was Flieger, etc. Allies who had considered the skies safe soon learned better. It didn't take long for some of them to find out where those high-flying bullets were coming from. Few tried to master the humongous name of the German gun. Not me. They simply abbreviated its name and applied it to the high-altitude shots. Always dangerous and frequently lethal, by definition, flak is assumed to be discharged from enemy territory. I guess, yeah, Flieger. Boy, how's your German?
Yeah, like F-L-A-G.
I got the fly part. Garab... I see cannon in there. It's almost like it's an abbreviation or anagram of it. It's that long. F A. No, there's no L in there. Oh well.
I had the military part right.
You did.
I take those small wins when I can find them here, Brian.
Yeah. Fair enough. Update on the weekend. Anything exciting go on, or nothing exciting went on?
Well, we had a great roadie parade, a very successful, safe roadie parade. That was an awesome after morning to be out there with the community, and a lot of people came out. But from the policing side, it was a very uneventful weekend, which is something we desperately needed after the last couple weeks. So
that's what I was wondering. How rare is it that it's not one of those where everybody gathers on Monday and you go, gee, okay, here's what happened this weekend? And
yeah, you know, it's actually pretty – it's rarer than you would think. It's because you don't usually have those major calls where everybody gets involved. Patrol is always busy. Our men and women on patrol are constantly on the go. So for them, a busy weekend is one thing. For us, it's something different. So, but we got no records of any major incidents, and they seem to have a very good weekend as well.
So it means they didn't call you in?
I did not get called in this weekend.
And neither did Todd?
No, he's actually out of town, so it would have definitely been me.
Oh,
it would have been me. So.
Boy, I didn't realize we had the Oracle here. Are you seeing any changes in the type of activity that you're being called to or having to respond to, or the troops?
No, it's pretty much been status quo, and we really haven't got into that summertime tourist season yet where that generates a different level of call sometimes because of, you know, the victimization that happens sometimes when tourists come in. They don't see and feel things in the community like those that live here do, leaving things in their car, cars getting broken into in hotel parking lots, things like that.
But I would think that they're more sensitive to the environment because it's all new. And they may be overwhelmed with the newness, but it's all new, so they're not calloused to some of the stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, some of the issues we have with the transient homeless populations, when we talk to our tourists that come here, they're like, to them, this is nothing. So I think for some people, they underestimate the amount of people on the streets that we have because we're a small community. For us, sometimes it feels overwhelming, but from some of the places they come from to travel here, it's not even something to blink an eye at. And then a lot of times also, when you're traveling...
Do you find out where they're from?
some of the major cities.
Cross those off.
Some of the major cities in California. But yeah, I'm sure when you travel too, Brian, when you go to a new area, it's you want to see the area. You're overwhelmed with the atmosphere, with the sights, and sometimes you don't remember and see the details, the minute details.
I'm working on that. One of the things I think I've bored everybody a couple times is that I'm now of the opinion of the recognition, it's not the opinion, that we all have our circles. That's the kind of group that we hang with. Those are the people that are familiar. That becomes our reference point of what normalcy is. And realizing that that's just one out of many circles. And if you don't get out of that circle, you really look at things differently. For me, it's more of a naivety than it is anything else. I mean, for you, you probably think everybody's loaded or looking to take advantage of people. Yeah, in breaking out of those circles and recognizing that, you know, what is reality. And I think that's the thing that I'm looking to try to figure out, whether it's in here at home or whether it's on the road somewhere, is what is really out there. You know, if it, you can get in problems if you don't pay attention.
That
and
is very true.
That's what I've been doing for a period of time, is not paying attention to some of those types of things. So you're kind of my conduit to a new circle, dude.
It's funny you say that, because, you know, in the policing world, being in law enforcement, you have certain people you hang out with, and they know you're in law enforcement. And generally, it's people that when you go to dinner or whatever, you talk about work, you talk about the trade. You meet up with people that are outside that trade, and it's amazing the types of conversations and topics that come up, because just it's out of your circle, like you're saying. So I can definitely relate to your struggle right now to find outside circle influences.
Well, and it's almost like going on a new adventure without having to do.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden we're hanging out in the medical circle, boy, are we going to feel really ignorant really quick, right?
Very true.
I mean, other than personal ills.
Yeah, very true.
What they deal with. You know, so it's always been there. You know, it's one of those does. But, you know, what is it that kind of pushes you into that arena? Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting. So we'll be back with more talking about the circles.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, well, you know, I was never strong in geometry anyway.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. So how do you guys either expand your circles so that you're incorporating maybe those doctors or people that are tertiary but they're not your primary, or get into a different circle entirely? Are there systems in place that you do for, I guess, for everybody on staff? Because I would think the office folks probably, you know, they hang around you guys long enough, you're going to, osmosis is going to kick in.
Yeah, anyone in the building is exposed to a lot of the same types of things that the officers are exposed to in the field, because they hear it on the radio over the overhead, they're reading the reports, preparing the documents for the district attorney's office. So there's different levels of exposure. So the wellness program that we have put in place is for all 79 employees that we have in the building. The mandatory counseling sessions are for everyone. We've recognized.
What's your requirement?
We do mandatory once a year. Everybody has to sit down with the company that we hired and the clinicians that come up and work for us and work with us. And it's been great because, you know, in the initial side, there was this, I don't want to do this kind of thing. Yeah. And I'm not going to talk. I'll sit there for an hour and get paid. And by that time the hour is over, they're like, it's already over. And we've been able to create connections between them and clinicians now that they have their phone numbers for. So they don't have to go through the admin. We have a contract. They can call directly down and start sessions on their own. So it's not, you take that stigma away from, we made it a part of the department, and the clinicians are part of our department. We bring them to barbecues. We go out to dinner with them when they're up here. They're more family than they are clinicians.
And
it makes it part of the team. Yeah, it makes it so much easier for people to relate and talk to them. And, you know, they all have first responder backgrounds. They're all very culturally competent to deal with first responders and what first responders and their families have to deal with. So it's been a godsend for us, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that the shock and awe was a concern early on, and now that their stories are worse than your stories.
There's nothing they haven't seen or heard right. as part of their profession, for sure.
How do you educate the new guys and gals coming on board that what you're going to experience is not abnormal, maybe new to you, but it's not abnormal? How do you work through that so that they don't start locking up or just get tidal waved?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things. Obviously, this peer support, this wellness program, they can help lay that foundation for what they're going to go through. But the second piece is the people that are coming into the profession now are coming from, it's not like the military, most of them. It's not, they're the college kids or millennials, and their social life is a lot different than yours and mine was when we entered any profession, 25 years ago. So they have that connection outside of it already. They already have some source outside, that friends, circles, gamers, whatever it shall be. So it's then convincing them to hold on to that, not get sucked in completely and lose touch with that. So I think that's how we're trying to address the new generation coming in law enforcement is, don't forget where you came from as far as that social circle.
There's still confidentiality issues, though, aren't there?
With?
Sharing information. Here's what I ran into today.
Yeah. You can't share investigative information right. and stuff. But there's ways to still talk about work and not share the details.
Yeah. Boy, is that a windy path, as we both know, huh?
Yes, it is. It is. But
so as you're working with the new breed, so to speak, I would think that they've got challenges that you and I didn't have, whether it was 25 or 45 years ago we started. Thank you very much.
Yeah, everybody comes into the profession, has new challenges. Each generation faces a different challenge. And I think some of it's where they think things may be okay to do because it's just the life they've lived, and now making that transition to, you can't do that no more. You can't post everything on social media. You can't.
Well, you guys have had a couple
shining
experiences of that in the last 5 years.
Yeah, so it's
different.
Yeah, and sometimes they just need a little reminder.
Now, because they wear badges, it's different. They're not electeds.
Mm-hmm.
They're not celebrity. They're not some of these things that we grow to, I guess I'm included in that we grow into and go, yeah, okay, you're on spotlight's 24 hours. I mean, you screw up, people are going to know. It doesn't matter if it's on job or not on job.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take the new hires to get to that point and say, you know, you're a cop 168 hours a week. That's it. And then, you know, thanks for the ride and hope you enjoy it.
I think the academy, I think the transition is good. I think what is put in place to help get them there is a pretty good path for them to understand. And there's always setbacks. There's always moments of or lack of clarity for them maybe on what's right and wrong. We hope that they don't step too far the other way and it's just a teachable moment because sometimes it only takes one teachable moment to bring you back and remind you that you live a different life now. You are in the spotlight and you're actions on and off duty are, you know, they're dictated by the profession, by the badge. So
they're always, the stupid in public thing. Just
it's takes a while to get that out of your system, especially coming directly out of college. So
yeah. Well, and even if you're out of the area because of some of that social media stuff, the kid posts something.
No.
Whoops, there it is.
Yeah.
So it's not even just doing it in their hometown and then getting out of Dodge and, blowing off steam like, Vegas used to be or Reno, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
It follows you. Kind of like the duck. sort of follows. This one had a kind of its own independent spirit.
My hacky sack skills are definitely lacking. That couldn't help you out.
You just got to spend more time in the plaza.
No, it's okay. That's not a circle that I'm going to take part in, Ryan.
Oh, I see. You
don't want
to. Yeah,
I'm
okay.
not a hacky sack guy.
See, I was trying to get you in that one. You just rebuffed it. Okay, fine. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Brian Stevens.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:34. Back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. So as this new policing style comes into play, you've got clinicians either on call or riding out there with you or meeting you at the scene.
Yep.
Now you got folks inside the house that are providing the same services for the staff. Is it easier to do the job? Or are these just more tools that you have at your disposal?
Yeah, it's not easier to do the job. It's definitely the tools that to keep our people well, keep our community well. Those trials and tribulations of the job that you face every day are still there. It's nice to have someone to hand some of that off to, our care team, the clinicians in the field with the officers. And it's also nice to have an outlet for those bad days, for when all that stuff builds up. And you need somebody. You know, we have to take care of our people inside the house, or we can't take care of our community. If our people aren't well, then we can't police the community the way we want to. So that's our priority, is taking care of our people so we can take care of our community.
Do you buy passes for the batting cage and some of those types of things and give them to the troops and just say, or the driving range? Go out there, just hit the crap out of the ball. Take half an hour. Just do it.
That is a good idea. We haven't done that. The city did allow us to get...
And no putters.
No.
you don't want to get more frustrated.
The city did give us money to buy passes at what's it called? Ballistic precision.
That doesn't... Shooting at things.
That's a great outlet for a lot of people. So not only... It's a dual purpose for us. Our people get training, and they get some time just to go and...
Blast away.
Fire off some rounds. And
I suppose that's better than like some of the other options.
It's a healthier option than some of them, yeah.
Bowling when you release on the backswing, you know, the things like that.
Yeah. I try the whole golfing thing, you know, to relieve some stress, and it's golf, so it's...
It's easier to just walk.
I find myself enjoying nature with my headphones in, you know, and just... Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good time.
Take a 5-iron out to the driving range and just
pound balls for a while. Yeah, don't care where they go. I'm just out here.
Doesn't matter. You don't have to chase them.
Spin a minute. Exactly.
It's over.
Exactly.
There was a quote that Jimmy Fox had. Somebody asked him. For those that don't know, he's a Hall of Fame baseball player. Was an outfielder, first baseman, catcher for the Phillies, for the A's and for the Red Sox in the 30s and 40s. And somebody asked him, you know, you play golf. Because that was, you know, just becoming the trendy. He looked at him and said, no. He said, why not? He said, I spend my life trying to hit the ball where people can't find it. Why would I want it to play golf?
That's a good...
It's like, yeah.
It's a good analogy.
It just makes sense. Are there recommended habits, hobbies, strategies that are put forth for the troops to be able to kind of work things off? I mean, the shooting range, you know, for those, great. I know walking is something that a lot of people do. Is there anything that is kind of universal there, or just a general direction and saying, you consider something to do that you like to do to release?
Yeah, it's the person's preference. It's what makes them tick, what makes them help help them find that release of that pressure and some peace. So, and you're right, some people it's journaling, some people it's going for a 10-minute walk. We used to have a detective who once every 2 or 3 hours would just go stand in front of the department in the sun and just take the mental break. It, just walking outside the building.
The lounge leisure concept.
Just walk outside the building for a few minutes, stand in the sun, get some vitamin D, feel some fresh air, and it's just, you know, whatever it is for you that can help bring you back to some sense of that homeostasis, that happy level in your life.
Now, can when they're out on patrol, can they take that time?
When they're on patrol, they're out there. So what they do, if they want to go park at the bay and watch the water for a while, I mean, they're still out there. They're still a deterrent. They're still a visual deterrent to anything that's going on. They're able to respond from anything. So, we highly recommend it. I know guys that used to go out and beat the grass with their batons and practice, but it also was a way to relieve stress because they would be moving and not sitting in their car. And so again, it's to each their own. You know, you got to know what makes you tick and what makes you relax.
Just make sure that if you are going to step outside, that the car isn't moving at that time.
Don't need none of that. So,
well, I would think, with the computerization that you guys have got for a lot of the troops and the Zoom calls and a lot of those types of technologies, that there's less downtime, less time to catch your breath or walk around. If you're in old town, walk around the block. Yeah, you're seeing things. Yeah, they're seeing you. But you're also just kind of getting out from behind the desk or breaking things up a little bit.
Yeah, calls for service and the demand for the patrol officers is really high. So we look for special events like the rodeo parade, the Thursday night concerts, Friday night markets, Saturday night Arts Alive. Try to get more of them involved in those events so they're in the public. There's a total different level of interaction. And you're not tied to the radio. Yeah, if something happens and we're here, we're going to have to deal with it. But this is truly a more of a social event. We're there to take care of everybody and keep them safe. But you get the opportunity not to be tied to the radio, going to calls, interact with people, break that circle, because you'll meet people from all over the world and just have a relaxing interaction with people and coworkers. It's a whole different level of when you're out walking around, it's better than riding in a car by yourself. So.
Yeah, I would think the social interaction would be a huge thing.
Yeah, it's and plus you get that positivity, that reinforcement from your community, because
that's the
community members that you don't usually run into unless it's at a community event, because they're not the ones interacting with the police because of behavior. So
or they've been at the receiving end of the equation.
True.
And they're a little bit more emotional in that perspective. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. As you're looking for, if you close your eyes and say, this is the ideal cop for tomorrow, not for today, but for tomorrow, what do you look for? What do you get excited? Or what do you recommend and have the folks you have with on board now train into? Is it all technology like most people are thinking about, or is it other things also?
That's a tough question, because there's no...
That's why I saved it for the last
time. I know, thanks. Appreciate that. but, I've sat on thousands of interviews, and you can feel during an interview if someone has what it takes, if they have that mold. And when you go back and look, and I've always thought we should do a study of the people that we put into backgrounds that successfully completed and we hire, what was that? What did they contain? What's their background? What's their education? What's their life experience? And then try to recruit around what's successful. What's successful for the Eureka Police Department? Because what's successful for us may not work for Fortuna or Reading or anywhere else, because each department's individual in its needs and its desires and how they want to police. So, the technology piece, yeah, it's important. Everything is computers, but you really can't grasp what we do from... As long as you can type, we can teach you how to do the rest. And when I say type, I still have officers that use one finger on each hand, and they're able to do the job.
The old hunt and peck.
Yes. So so we can teach the technology piece. That's not the problem. It's more of the balance of your life. It's life experience. That's probably the biggest thing, because I think that you come into it with life experience. You come into it more grounded, and you understand more what you face. You're caught off, not caught off guard as much as somebody that, you know, has lived a sheltered life or been nothing but in college and taken care of, and now all of a sudden you're on your own and you're starting a new profession that is so high paced, so dangerous.
So an Ivy League trust fund kid probably wouldn't be the ideal profile for you.
I'm not saying that. Very educated.
Probably.
But it matters what they did on their off time. What kind of activities did they do to better round themselves out other than just be a college student? You know, the military is a great recruiting location because they have the life experience. They're on their own. They understand making decisions and the importance of decision making. But then we have to train and look for and develop people with the guardian mindset that we want to take care of people. You got to be able to turn on the warrior at any given moment because you never know what you're going to face, much like the deputies the other day. But then you have to walk away from that call and go right back to helping some kid who is in a desperate situation and coddling them and taking care of them and trying to find a positive outcome for them. So you really got to have
broad spectrum
flexible people. I mean, you really got to have flexible people. They can't be so rigid that they can't see both sides of policing right now.
You mentioned, not to give away too much of Thursday's show with Billy, but when something like that happens, there is the brotherhood also. Sympathies, empathies. Gee, that's too bad. I mean, when you hear about some of those situations, and whether it's in the SO's office or it's somebody, say, in Maryland, is there discussion within the department to kind of walk everybody through that?
We do. A lot of these critical, our sergeants will use those as briefing training, walk through what they've done, what they've seen, how it makes people feel locally. You're right, it is a strong brotherhood of the badge when it comes to these critical incidents. And you know, having been here long enough to been through a lot of these, you know what they're facing. And have that, you know, on-scene moment where you can grab them by the shoulder and make sure they're okay and tell them thanks for being here. Because if they weren't there, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big piece that we try to say is just that thank you for being there, because they really were the line that day that kept that evil on one side and kept it from hurting anyone else. So,
when there's the chases, or you hear about some of those chases or shootings that go on, you guys are, my understanding is that with the agreements that are in place, that a lot of times your guys and gals are engaged. Yeah, they may not be on the front line, they may be secondary or even out further, but they're part of it, but they're not there at the event. Do they still have to work through those situations, even though they weren't the ones that were dealing with the immediate challenge?
Absolutely. You know, from our detectives and evidence techs that are just, you know, engulfed in this investigation now, working through all this. But you also have, you know, officers that didn't get there in time to help, and there's a sense of that. Well, if I got there earlier, maybe I could have done more. Maybe I could have done something. So you deal with that, too, like that almost guilt. Like, I wish I would have been there. This started in our jurisdiction. I wish we were able to be there and take that off of them or help them with this so they weren't by themselves out there. So, yeah, there's a lot of emotions that run through critical incidents. And you're right, it does. It lasts quite a while because we still have, you know, we're still very engaged in this investigation. And
well, I would think involved. As long as the case is open. And the investigation is open or the trial is occurring, okay, you're there. But let's say in 5 years, does it just kind of become an experience and you remember the experience and you either hope to replicate it if you did something positive or act differently if you feel like you could have done something more?
Yeah, and it doesn't take 5 years for that to happen because already, you know, with the debriefs we've had internally, like I said, we weren't there for the critical incident piece of it, but a lot of it we handled afterwards. You learn a lot of lessons really quick when you sit down with your peers and have an open conversation on, hey, what'd you see? How did it go for you? How did it go for you? I learned the people were there off duty in a medical standpoint, who have medical training from our department that I didn't even see. And I didn't know that until, because of the chaos that was there for that first 20, 30 minutes, you know, until the debrief. And I was like, oh, so-and-so was here providing medical aid to one of the crash victims. And I'm like, oh, wow, you're kidding me, right? I mean, I didn't see him. So then, you know, so you're constantly, you're right, for the first couple of weeks, for sure, there's a lot of learning and a lot of things coming to light. You hope it's only a memory, and you hope it's a moment that you learn from, and it's not a nightmare that you have to deal with.
The open discussion, is that something that's off record? I mean, are you really able to talk about things, or because it's could be an active situation that you are having to keep track of what's being said, or you're accountable for what's being shared?
So those that were involved from our end, so we weren't the actual it doesn't smell good.
No, but we have a roofer here, so I'm thinking it.
Okay.
I'm hoping there's a connection.
Yeah. So for our people who weren't actively.
If we hear a siren,
I'm waiting
and
for
you guys
that.
Hear dead air all of a sudden, just kind of give a prayer.
I've lost my train of thought thinking about how I'm going to evacuate this building.
Yeah, I know how you're going to. Right over me. Oh, gee. Well, with that, we'll continue our look for circles on the sidewalk, right?
Sounds good, Brian.
All right, bud. Thanks for coming by.
Bye.
See everybody tomorrow.